This week, teachers nationwide are decking their classrooms out in pink and red hearts and preparing for Valentine's parties that'll include cards, candies, kid giggles, and groans.
Yeah!
Oh, come on. February, after all, is the month for celebrating love. For some people. For others, it's a dreaded time that reminds them of love's lost. Heartbreak is part and parcel of the human experience, and not a pretty one. But there seem to be songs that speak to each and every case of a broken heart.
Please, 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 please,
baby, please, don't you drive me away.
I think of her, but she thinks only of him.
Okay, okay. Well, the point is this. We're going to hear one story of love and heartbreak and the music that was specifically composed for it. It's the love story of 19th century composer Johannes Brahms and Clara Schumann. Megan Laslocky is author of The Little Book of Heartbreak, and she shares with me their story of love and the music that told it.
Well, obviously, when we're going through heartbreak, certain songs we just put on repeat and we listen to them over and over and over again. And I find that really interesting. And I also wonder about how for generations before there was recorded music, how it might have been a different experience if they didn't have their own anthem for the experience that they could just listen to on demand. So I was kind of fascinated by that.
And you found?
Well, one of the stories that I came across that I found just so compelling was the long and very painful love story between Johannes Brahms and Clara Schumann.
And those were just sort of here.
Yes.
The Brahms Heartbreak Playlist on a page 135. I love this. So the first one is String Sextet Number 2 in G Major. Tell me about it. What was the story behind it?
After it was clear that Brahms and Clara Schumann were not going to become married, her husband, the composer Robert Schumann, had just died, and I think she thought that she would marry Brahms. And for some reason, he backed away. And shortly thereafter, he became briefly engaged to a woman named Agatha von Siebold, and she was a soprano. And after they broke up, he wrote the String Sextet Number 2 in G Major, Opus 36, and hidden in its climactic section are the notes A, G, A, E, A, D, E. Which several Brahms biographers think actually spells out "Farewell, Agatha." I thought that was really interesting that he was using the letters of the notes to spell out his farewell to her. And then there's his Requiem, which is very religious, at least, on the surface. It's Opus 45. It's his longest composition, and it clocks in at about 80 minutes, and it's choral. And that one is actually thought to be a meditation on his mother's death. He was very close to her. Heartbreak again, a different, not romantic heartbreak, but on the loss of his beloved mother.
Thank you.
And then this other thing happened later in his life. Brahms wound up falling in love with Julie Schumann, Clara and Robert's daughter, who by then was in her 20s. And
he fell in love with the mother and then he fell in love with her daughter?
Yes, he did. He did. And amazingly, Clara, the mother, really took the high road on this one and didn't get ticked off at him because, you know, I would be a little, affronted by that. And so he wrote the Alto Rhapsody, Opus 53, as a wedding gift to Julie Schumann, and he called it his bridal song.
And as a wedding gift, he married her.
No, he did not marry her. She married an Italian count. And he wrote that as his sort of his gift to her and his, you know, I'm sure his intimate acknowledgement of how much in love with her he had been. And then, let's see, near the end of Clara's life and his, actually, she was 13 years older than he was, but they died fairly close. He wrote six pieces for piano, Opus 118. And they're comparatively short pieces. And they're absolutely beautiful. And part of the reason why they're so short is that because Clara had terrible, terrible arthritis and neuralgia at that point. And it was very difficult for her to play. And so he wrote those songs short so that she could at least get through them one at a time. And then finally, when Clara had a stroke, he wrote what's called Four Serious Songs. And he publicly dedicated those to a friend whose father had recently died, but privately he would admit that he did in fact write them for Clara. And whenever he played them himself, he would cry. And again, she died, and then he died, I think, within a year. And it's really thought that basically she had been his muse for most of his life. And once she died, there wasn't any more reason for him to be. It's really an incredible story and well worth looking into.